could have just stood back there and listened to singing tonight, but I was asked to give this topic, and I agreed. So here we are. I should say that it's the church pictured in the Old Testament, the figure of the church in the Old Testament. And that really gives faith, should give us faith and courage. When we see the scripture, how it's connected all the way through, all the way to the Old Testament. And that's what I'd like to show this evening. So I'd like to speak a little bit to the younger people, because I think that's a little bit more my wavelength, maybe. I think you older people probably have heard these things before, and sometimes we hear them and we just forget about them. Maybe we don't hold them as close as we should, these truths of Scripture. One thing about types and shadows is that they do not teach new truths. They're simply building on truths that are there in the Old Testament, and they eliminate illuminate truths, I should say. They make them clear and make them dear to us. There were two books that I was reading. Many of you know Shadow of the Cross by Grandpa Dan. And the other one, The Divine Romance by Gene Edwards. I really recommend both of those books. So I borrowed from those as well. Just like to look at, first of all, Romans chapter 12. If we can turn to a few scriptures, I won't keep you very long. If we go to Romans chapter 12 first, it talks of the first Adam. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Okay, I'd like for you to notice that the figure there, speaking of the representing Christ, that is Adam, that he is a representation of Christ. He's the first Adam, and Christ comes after him as the firstborn after the resurrection. So that is sort of what I'd like to build on from there, that Adam is representing all of humanity, and Christ is then the firstborn of the church, all of God's redeemed people. Okay, so then if we go then to Colossians chapter 1, and then we'll switch back to the Old Testament. Just wanted to lay this down a little bit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I should have read verse 26 too. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations and now is made manifest to his saints. Now, what I'd like to see there is that mystery, I like mysteries. I like mystery stories. There's something going on, and you know it's not right. There's a lot of hints as to something that is bigger that's happening and causing something. And eventually you find out what is causing this mystery, or what is the mystery. And that is what we're looking at here. I think in the Old Testament, the church was being shown all the way through the people of Israel were representing God's people, yes, but it just wasn't right. There was something not there completely, and we find out when Christ came what it was, that all the way through. Now, the mystery of Christ is what I wanted to enlarge on there, that it talks about now is made manifest to his saints. That's to us the mystery of Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, so let's go back then to let me not jump ahead of myself here. So we have a very, maybe say, a practical religious expression where we, in obedience and faith to Christ, that is what our religious expression is. For the Old Testament saints, they were given ceremonial duties to follow. Many of them, they didn't even understand what they were for. They were just told to do these sacrifices and different things. Now when we look at them, they meant something far greater that we can see today. And many of these types and shadows, they point to different parts of the new covenant. That would be Jesus Christ and Calvary's cross, the gospel, and the church. So all of those things have parts in the Old Testament that are shown. And I think so they're also comfort, encouragement to us. Okay, so we receive comfort, encouragement from seeing these types in the Old Testament. But they were also a proof to the Jews that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. So they could, if they wanted to, those that were blind, and Dayton shared this morning about blindness, the Jews, and I didn't read Romans chapter 11, but there where they were blind and they weren't willing to see the truth, but they could have, and they still can, and especially if they would study the Old Testament law and see why they were doing all these things, there's a purpose for it, and they would they could then find the Messiah. Okay, so I'm still not ready to go to the Old Testament. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read that yet. Because some types are clear in because they speak directly. They say this is a figure of this. And so, like we just read there about Adam, but some of them are not as clear. But let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you're coming to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Okay, so how many types did you pick out in that? I didn't stop to look at all those, but I'm sure there are more. The one that I was looking at was verse 24. It says the blood of sprinkling speaketh better things than that of Abel, because Abel was a type of Christ, and I didn't study that one as much as I should have, but there's a better sacrifice. That's Jesus. Okay, so now we're ready to go. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Okay, so we've already established that Adam is a type of Christ. So then Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So do you see that connection there? I'm sure you probably do. The missing link there yet is that, let's read in John chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. I'm actually not going to read it, but it's where Jesus came to the cross and, the soldiers came to the cross. Jesus had died on the cross. And after the soldiers saw that he died, they break not his legs, it says, but they pierced his, one soldier pierced his side, and blood and water flowed out. So we can see that in that Christ purchased the church, his bride, which the church is a type of I should say Eve is a type of the church. Okay, so I'm jumping ahead of myself, but that was the missing link there. So now the rib that was taken out of Adam's side, that made woman, his wife Eve. And it's interesting about that too, is that Adam was made from the ground. Everything about him was of the ground, and yeah, that we have no proud heritage in that line. Okay, we are part of Adam, but that is part of our flesh. He is made from the ground. So Eve, in turn, would be from Adam, right? However, when the bride of Christ, the church, was redeemed, taken or purchased from Christ's side, a shedding of his blood, that was a divine building. And that there is worth a lot. If we can be part of that, the redeemed. Yeah, so the bride of Christ is made from Christ in the Spirit. And I hope I was clear enough that we saw that Eve was a representation of the church in that way. There are many others that we won't go into, but the just a few. Isaac and Rebekah, the story. Isaac is a picture of Christ, that he was a promised child, and it took very long for him to come. And so, in fact, so long that they used other means, and it was the same way in Christ's coming. So we see Isaac being a type of Christ there. So when he was when he took Rebekah, if you remember that story, she is in a type of Christ. Of the church being brought in that way. And then Ruth, the story of Ruth in the Old Testament, also is a beautiful picture of the Gentile church being taken in. And you can study that, how she was a Moabitess, and those were very, very much shunned by the Jews. But she was received into the lineage of Christ, Ruth was. And in the same way, the Gentile church is received in, Gentile believers are received into the church, bride of Christ. There's, you've got the tabernacle that's so large we won't even look at. Well, actually, I do want to bring one of those. All the numbers in the Old Testament have a significance in the Bible. Sacrifices. There's many things that you can study and find great connections to truths. Again, they simply illuminate truths of the Scripture, and they should make it dear to us in that way. The one I was thinking about in the tabernacle, and Owen mentioned this, that these boards that they made the tabernacle with were 2 feet wide and 15 feet tall, I think is what you said. That's a large size piece of wood, 2 feet wide, 15 feet tall. They must have had good trees. But it says that they made this tabernacle, so it's 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, but they made sort of like a palisade where, you know, they stuck the post in the ground all the way around the fort. Sort of like that. They had a base to set these boards in. Okay, so they had a socket they fit down inside of, and the sockets were made of silver. And of course, it was the wood, but then it was overlaid with gold. Okay, and then around that was five bars that held all that together. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been stable, would have fallen in and out. Now, I think all of these have a significance. I don't think they were just put in that way for anything. I mean, so, you know, you take the Old Testament, and it has a historical value to it. It's true. We read it for that. It has moral teachings in it, but there is a spiritual dimension that we see when we look at these types and shadows that are beautiful. So back to the number. Now the number five, if we look at the number five in the Scripture, Old Testament especially, and then the one, actually David took five smooth stones from the brook, didn't he? Why not six, you know? I mean, but there's a significance in the five, because the five stones represent grace, and that's supported by five writers in the New Testament, the five epistle writers. I can't remember all of them, but there's quite a few. But those, so the number five is the five bars that go around this tabernacle, and these bars slid into sort of a something on that was attached to the side of the boards, and that is that way they could remove them and then carry the tabernacle. So there, five represents grace. So you tell me what represents the wood around the tabernacle. I think you probably could tell me that, because wood is representing humanity, and it's overlaid with gold, which represents divine nature that is within the redeemed. All the redeemed have that new nature of Christ infused into them, and that's where I'd like for you to read the Divine Romance. It's very deep in that. the number five. Okay, and that represents the church. That's another picture of the church, the wood around the tabernacle. And that's just where I wanted to to end there. Just wanted to give that to you. Thank you.